We're going to just look at the communion story, and of course we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 11 shortly. A little girl asked her mum, "Mum, why do you cut off the ends of the joint when you cook Sunday dinner?" To which mum said, "Well, I think it helps the spices to absorb into the meat and it tastes better. But better ask Grandma, because Grandma's always done it that way." So the little girl went and asked Grandma, "Grandma, why do you and Mummy cut off the roast joint at the ends of the meat before you cook it?" "Well, it brings in the juices, it's more tender. I think that's why it is. But we better ask great grandma because we've always done it that way." So, a bit frustrated, the little girl gets in touch with her great grandma. "Nanny," she said, "why do you cut off the ends of the meat, the end of the joint, before cooking it?" To which Nanny answered, "I have to, because the pot's not big enough otherwise." And you know, we do things sometimes out of habit. We don't always stop and think about why we do things. And this reflective service this evening, we're going to be looking at the communion. It's one of those things that we do on a regular basis. The Bible doesn't tell us how often we've got to do it, or where, or when. But perhaps in Baptist circles, and maybe in other churches, we sometimes tend to tuck it on the end of a service, and although whoever leads it will remind us of the reasons, we don't always look at the actual communion encounter, the communion story. And I think even if we've been Christians for a long time, it's good to really look at this and remind ourselves. When I looked up the word reflective in the dictionary, it gave me two meanings. One was providing a reflection, as looking in a mirror, you get the reflection. One was relating to or characterized by deep thought. And it doesn't really matter whether we look at this communion story from either. Both are very apt. Whether we approach it by looking and seeing how the communion went, or whether we're thinking about the actual communion service. So I've just got four very brief points that I want us to look at this evening. The first one is asking the question, why do we do this? Why do we take the bread and the wine? During lockdown, of course, it was slightly different. There was social distancing and we had those little pots, as you remember. Some of them perhaps easier to open than others. But we did it and we still do it. Whenever we do it first of all to remember. So I'm going to read a few verses now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to start at verse 23. Well-known verses. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So those few verses give us an insight as to why we should be doing it. First of all, it was to remember. Very interesting when we read the Exodus account of the Passover. And here, Jesus was perhaps interpreting something old, but instituting something new. He was instituting this Passover meal for the church to continue. In Exodus, it was just once a year. Now, of course, we do it a lot more regularly than that. But in Exodus, we were reminded of Jesus being the Passover lamb. We've got that in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 as well. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So we come then to remember. Second point is to rejoice. We come to remember, but we also come to rejoice. If you remember, a short while ago, it was Easter time. We were looking particularly at Easter Sunday when we were rejoicing in the risen Lord. It was pointing forward as well as looking back. But when we come to this meal, sad though it is that Jesus had to give his life for us, we can rejoice in what he's done for us. So we have a remembrance and we have a rejoicing. But we also have a couple of perhaps more solemn things to look at. And as we go on in those verses, and we start at verse 27, we read this. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself. And in those verses, we're reminded that we have to examine ourselves. And we're given an opportunity to repent and to experience God's forgiveness and cleansing so that we can truly celebrate. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come to communion, I think I'm not worthy to come. I get that feeling of doubt sometimes. Did Jesus really die for me? You know, sometimes I think this is the devil putting doubts in our minds. And there's a hymn that we sometimes sing. And I'm going to read it through. If you know it and you want to join in with the words, fine. There are so many hymns I would have liked to have had this evening, but I didn't want to overwork Ian. So we kept it down to about 8 this evening. But one of the hymns says this: before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. And then that lovely verse that says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look, see him there who made an end to all my sin. See, communion isn't about us. It's not about the devil. It's not about Satan. It's about what Jesus has done. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. It's already done. Nothing we can do. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. A wonderful hymn. You know, sometimes, I'm sure if you're the same as me, we do get tempted to despair. We do get told that we're guilty. But when we look at Jesus and what he's done for us, and he invites us to come to this table. So we've come to remember, come to rejoice, and to repent. But also, we come to be reconciled. Now, I'm sure that looking around, none of us have anything against one another. But you know, sometimes we can be in a situation where perhaps there's some hurt or some hatred, or there's something that we have against somebody else. And we shouldn't then come to communion in that way. We have an opportunity to come and repent, but we also need to reconcile with each other, because when we repent, we may have a sin in our lives that nobody else knows anything about, may not affect anybody else, but sometimes we need to be reconciled to each other as well as to the Lord, because we have hurt, we have upset someone, someone's upset us, and we're hanging on to that feeling of anger. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Anyone whose heart is not right, has hatred, bitterness, or contempt for anyone, then we eat or drink unworthily. So we need to come to this table. We're invited to come. We need to come to remember, first of all, what Jesus has done. We can come with rejoicing for what Jesus has done. We need to repent of our sins. We need to say sorry to God. We need to be reconciled. So as we come towards the time when Nathan's going to come and lead us in this time around the table, I just want to read that hymn again. And then we'll have a short time of silence that we can confess our sin to God. We can thank God that we can come in remembrance as well as rejoicing. We can be reconciled to one another, but we do need to repent. Jesus has invited us to share in this meal, despite what Satan might tell us. So I'm going to just read that hymn again. And then we'll have a couple of minutes, just quiet, where we have the opportunity to put ourselves right with God if there is anything wrong. That affects me as well as you. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, sinless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. Let's just have a minute or two of silence as we put ourselves right before God, and then The worship team are going to lead us in one more song, and then Nathan will come up and lead communion.